saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. 1 Kings 17:8-9. In prayer meeting not long ago, a testimony was given concerning how God used the widow woman to sustain Elijah. This testimony opened up a whole avenue of thought to me, and I began to think how God has and does use widow women. For this broadcast, I'm concerned primarily with those women whose husbands are dead. They are deprived of a husband to care for them, support them, and look out for their welfare. Sometimes these widows are left with families to support. This works on them a real hardship in many ways. Not only do they have the meals to prepare, but they also have the concern and responsibility as to where the food is coming from to prepare for those meals. So in reality, their work is doubled. Business deals present a problem, and the support of their families also rests upon them. And oh, how they do need the presence of God to guide them. This particular woman, to whom God sent the prophet Elijah for support, was just such a widow. I know God could have sent him to someone with more riches. If we didn't understand how God works a blessing in both ways by such an incident as this, we might be prone to ask, just why did the Lord impose on the widow to support Elijah? But let us take another look at the situation. When Elijah walked up to her as she was gathering sticks to go build a fire and cook the last bit of food in the house for herself and for her son before they died of starvation in this great famine which was sweeping the land, Elijah said to her, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I don't know if she really understood who this was talking to her or not. But at any rate, she went to get the water. But as she was going, Elijah said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Think of that request which the prophet made of the widow woman. Quite a big order, wasn't it? Then this poor woman took time to explain to the prophet that she only had a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And she had planned to go and prepare that for the two of them, herself and her son, that they may eat it and die. But here is where the turning point came in her life. She was willing to share with the prophet of God. Because of this willingness, she not only was able to help the cause of God, but she and her son were sustained many days. For the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. I have observed by past experience that it is often the poor in this world's goods who are willing to obey the voice of the Lord in giving. How much more could the rich give if they only would? But, after all, the Lord is looking for those who give with a cheerful heart. The scriptures say, Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Here's what James has to say about this subject. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? James 2:5. Under the Jewish law, certain requirements were placed upon the people in the treatment of widows. They were to be given special consideration. Here is a scripture bringing out this thought. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Exodus 23:22-24. Then listen to this. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Psalms 146:9. So I say the Lord is taking notice and is concerned with the needs of the fatherless and the widows. For the way of the wicked to be turned upside down would be rather severe judgment. But this is what the word says. Now let us put the definition of true righteousness in the words of the prophet Isaiah. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:16-19. This scripture doesn't say to take advantage of the widow, as many do, but it says to plead for her. In other words, look out for her and give her the advantage and the benefits which she deserves. Naomi was a widow, but God loved her and showed his favor to her by sending her daughter-in-law along as she went back to her own land. Ruth was a young widow, but she loved the Lord, and God blessed her for it. She promised to stay with Naomi, and her God would be Ruth's God also. Because of the devotion of this young widow, Ruth, God gave her a husband who was good to her. She gave birth to a son. Do you remember his name? It was Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, the father of David. I'll say this. If all the widows were taken out of the church today, the church would be in trouble. Often it is the meager offering of the widow who keeps the word of the Lord going forth. She supports the cause with her offerings and prayers. Jesus also observed this and called the attention of the apostles to it. In Mark chapter 12 and beginning with verse 41, I quote, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Then think of the prayers and intercessions which go up to the throne of God day and night from the hearts of the widows. When very young, Jesus was brought to the temple. Simeon was a just man and very devoted. He gave thanks to God for the Christ whom he had seen. Then there was this prophetess, Anna, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Luke 2:37-38. And now, just a few words of caution. Not all widows are godly. Some are very much otherwise. These are to be warned. Here is what the scriptures give concerning these things. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So I say, may God richly bless every widow who is trusting in him. May he be a guide and a comfort to you each step in life. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful for the privilege of bringing your word over the air to those who listen from week to week. Bless everyone in the way which they need most. Be a comfort and guide to those who are fatherless and those who have no companions to counsel them. May thy word find lodging in good and honest hearts, and thine shall be the praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, if you would like to write us, please do so. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And be with us again next week, same time, same station. Here is a song, He Will Hide Me. The singers are the late Sister May Carver, Lynn and Alma Carver, and Marie Mitchell.
Though he may send some affliction, 'twill but make me long for home. For in love and not in anger, all is changed.
Murphy saying, God bless and guide you, and a very cheerful goodbye.